folks, and welcome to Songs of Our Own, a marital tour through the music that shaped us. I'm your co-host, Lee Strickland.
And I'm Allie Oney.
Well, hey, Al.
Hey, Lee, how you doing?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. The sun is finally out, and I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh, I know. After, like, we had, what do we call it here? Fool spring.
Yeah.
Where we had, like, a week of, like, 70-degree temperatures, and there was no humidity, and it was beautiful. Like, then we had all this rain and chances of snow.
And it was just, like, gray. Like, it looked like the whole, like, nature scape was just crying for days. I was like, oh, my God. Girl, you need a hug, and we got to move on.
Yeah, it was like, is this what people in, like, Seattle live with, like, all the time? Because this is, I mean, power to you if you're up there and can handle that. But I was like, I need the sun.
Yeah, seriously, I really understand why they have, like, actual sun lamps. It's hard.
Yeah, I know. I was like, take me to Hawaii where it's, like, sunny all the time.
Well, it depends on what side of the island you're on, too.
Take me to that side of the island of that Hawaii.
I'll put in a request with the financial wizards and see if somehow we can get a flight out there. That'd be nice.
So we're here today to talk about Roberta Flack and her album, Killing Me Softly.
Woo! Yeah, lady! Woo.
Yeah. So I'm super excited we got to do this album. I love this album. It's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was really excited to listen to it because you had played Killing Me Softly, like, quite a bit on your random mix list that you have. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to hear more of her music.
Yeah, definitely. You really get kind of a, like, Killing Me Softly is really good, but you get, like, a much better idea of her range and depth as an artist from this album.
Yeah, can I just say also, like, a lot of artists, their title song is not the first song, and I was like, that's kind of bold that that's what she did.
Oh yeah, the album title. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for that to be track one or side one, track one.
Yeah,
was like, whoa. Okay,
like, we're diving in. Okay.
Oh yeah, she's a strong lady.
Well, tell us a little bit more about this strong lady. Who is she? Where is she from? What does she do?
Yeah, so I'll talk a little bit about Roberta Flack, and then I'll talk about the album a little bit. So Roberta Cleopatra Flack.
Wait, seriously?
Her middle name is Cleopatra.
Yes, queen.
Right, like, total boss. Born February 10, 1937, still currently with us, which is awesome. As an American singer, she's known for her number one singles, The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face, Killing Me Softly with his song, Feel Like Making Love, and Where Is the Love, and The Closer I Get to You. Two of her many duets with, Where Is the Love and The Closer I Get with You are two of her many duets that she's done with Donny Hathaway. Flack is also noted for her influence on the subgenre of contemporary R&B called Quiet Storm.
Ooh.
Yeah, like, how badass is that? Like, yeah, like, we're not just going to call this contemporary R&B. We're going to call it the Quiet Storm. Like, that's awesome. Along with her interpretations of songs by various songwriters such as Leonard Cohen and members of the Beatles. Flack was the first artist to win a Grammy Award for Record of the Year in two consecutive years, with The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face won in 1973 and Killing Me Softly with his song won in 1974. Only U2 and Billie Eilish have repeated this feat to date.
I guess I am really going to stick my foot in my mouth here, but it doesn't seem like it would be that hard
to get a Grammy for Record of the Year two consecutive years in a row.
I mean, like I said, I'm speaking from total ignorance here, but, like, that's what musicians do, right? They make music, they win awards, they move on.
Whoa. Whoa. So first off, like, let me say the Grammys haven't been around for forever. Like, when the Beatles were a thing, there were no Grammy Awards. So, yeah, like, I don't exactly know when they came into play, but I think it would have been easier, like, if it was the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, like, album after album after album. Like, the Beatles would have won that, you know, from 63 to 70, basically. So they haven't been out that recently. And then, like, it's so some artists view that, like, album of the year award as like a kiss of death. And, like, they will never go on to do anything better than that.
What?
Yeah. So there's a lot of artists that don't really want that award as well. And then I think, like, when you look at artists and their albums, right? Like, their first album is always, not always, but is typically, like, the album that has a bunch of their hits on it. And this is the album that, like, they have been spending years writing, and they have toured these songs for years. So, like, they're very tight. They know exactly what they want. And then they get a little famous, and then, like, their next album is usually pretty rushed. So it does not have as many, like, of the same qualities as the first album. Mm-hmm. That's not always the case, but you see it a lot when you look into artists, and especially artists that have won this, like, album of the year award. So I think that magic is really hard to recreate. I mean, you know, Ed Sheeran's not on that list.
Oh, okay, sir. I see you.
I'm just saying, I had to throw in an artist that you were, like, really attached to.
Yeah, and I guess to be fair, too, like, a lot of artists don't necessarily release an album every year either.
Right, yeah. Some albums take years to finally polish to the artist's standard.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty neat group that she's a part of. Yeah, I had to read that and I was like, U2, really?
U2 has a weird following.
They do. People love them.
I mean, Bono does some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, he does. He's just so Bono about it. Like, be like the Edge. He's their guitar player.
I love you so much, and I will leave it at that. So anyway, back to Roberta Flack.
So that's kind of all the info I have on her.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of info about the album. So Killing Me Softly is the fifth studio album by Roberta Flack, released on August 1st, 1973 by Atlantic Records. She recorded the album with producer Joel Dorn for 18 months. Killing Me Softly reached number 3 on the Billboard Top LP and Tapes, and number 2 on the Soul LPs chart. The Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, certified the album Gold on August 27, 1973, and Double Platinum in January 30th of 2006, denoting shipments of 2 million copies in the United States alone.
Wow.
Yeah. It was nominated for a Grammy Award for Album of the Year, which it lost to Stevie Wonder's 1973 album Inversions. The album's title track was released as a single and topped the Billboard Hot 100. It won the 1974 Grammy Award for Record of the Year. John S. Lewis, writing in the New York Times, felt that Flack and producer Joel Dorn, quote, have resisted the pitfalls of overproducing that you would suppose such a long gestation period would induce for this album. Billboard called the record, quote, delicate, introspective work by Flack, who in the magazine deemed a, quote, masterful interpreter of clean lyrics, fusing a sophisticated pop sound with that dark side of the blues.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I was like, those are really good. I left off, but the Rolling Stone had a pretty scathing review.
Oh, jerks.
Yeah. So I was like, that's stupid. You're dumb.
Yeah. You're a big deal, but you're also dumb.
Right. Like, all the Rolling Stone said was same stuff, different artist, basically.
Yeah.
So I left that off. The New York Times and the Billboard review, I was like, oh, those are really good, and they sum up this album really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can dive into the songs.
Okay, let's do it. You want to start with Killing Me Softly with his song?
Yeah, so the album starts with Killing Me Softly with his song. This song was originally composed by Charles Fox, with lyrics by Norman Gimbel. The lyrics were written in collaboration with Lori Lieberman after she was inspired by a Don McLean performance in late 1971.
Don McLean, like American Pie?
The American Pie guy.
Okay, right on. Yeah.
I mean, he also wrote Vincent, which is amazing.
It is amazing. But also, like, the American Pie guy inspired this song. It's kind of hard to believe.
Inspired Killing Me Softly with his song. Denied writing credit by Fox and Gimble, Lieberman released her version of the song in 1972, but it did not chart. Roberta Flack first heard the song on an airplane when the Lieberman original was featured on the in-flight audio program. Because planes used to have that. Oh,
that's so old.
I know. After scanning the listing of available audio selections, Flack would recall, quote, "The title, of course, smacked me in the face. I immediately pulled out some scratch paper, made musical staves, then played the song at least 8 to 10 times, jotting down the melody that I heard. When I landed, I immediately called Quincy Jones at his house and asked him to meet me, asked him how to meet Charles Fox. 2 days later, I had the music. Shortly afterwards, Flack released the song with her band in the Tuff Gong Studios. Oh, she rehearsed the song with her band in the Tuff Gong Studios in Kingston, Jamaica, but did not record it then. Yeah. In September of 1972, Flack was opening for Marvin Gaye at the Greek Theater. After performing her prepared encore song, Flack was advised by Gaye to sing an additional song. Flack later said, quote, "I said, well, I got this song I've been working on called Killing Me Softly." And he, being Marvin Gaye, said, "Do it, baby."
Oh.
And I did it. And the audience went crazy. And he, Marvin Gaye again, walked over to me and put his arm around me and said, "Baby, don't ever do that song again live until you record it."
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that's Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
Giving you that advice.
Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, in the early 70s, like, Marvin Gaye was a huge artist. So, I mean, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, for this, I think for this to be the album title and then be the opening song, like you said, is pretty ballsy. But I think she gets, I mean, she really knocks it out of the park.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an amazing song in its own right that I feel like we could gush about for a really long time. But when I hear it, you know, it's really about going out and being like, oh, I heard this musician's pretty good, and sitting down and being like, whoa, like you get knocked in the face because it's so good and so relatable. And I was like, man, it's just really nice to be seen, like, whatever it is that the music's about. When you find something that you relate to, it's really powerful for people. And I feel like that's the whole point of this podcast, is like to find that music that speaks to your heart and speaks to your experience.
Yeah, exactly. I think you nailed it with that. Yeah, I mean, like, this song basically sums up why we do this podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I could not have said that better myself. And yeah, I think the song also is a testament to, like, how powerful live music can be.
Uh-huh.
And, like, even if, you know, in the lyrics they say, right, that this artist, like, you're hoping that they look at you and they, like, don't. Mm-hmm. But the song is still just, it's so powerful, you know? It's Killing Me Softly.
Yeah, you know, I, like, definitely don't give live music enough credit. Like, when the pandemic shut stuff down, I just didn't really understand why live music was one of the things that people were really sad to lose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think spending more time with you and spending more time with music has really given me an appreciation of why that was such an important thing for people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember that being, like, seeing so many people's Facebooks and, like, talking to so many people of, like, what are you excited for when, you know, this is over? And so many of my friends were like, oh, live music. I really miss live music.
Yeah. And in my head, I was like, it's loud. There's people. Like, it's sticky. Why?
There's pot smoke everywhere.
All the time.
Yeah.
I was like, why is this the thing you miss? But now I think I get it a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. So, yeah, I love this song. Roberta Flack's voice on it is amazing. She has such a range. Her piano is amazing. And the, like, you couldn't hear it super good through my computer speakers, but, like, the bass on the song is powerful.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to give a lot of credit to all the musicians who did this. You know, her voice is just, and I'll say this a lot as we talk about the other things on this album, but it's just really soothing and, oh man, just gets my heart.
Yeah, she does have that voice where she could, I mean, bring a room to tears mm-hmm. with one song.
Oh yeah, or put a baby to sleep. For oh yeah, sure.
That too. Yeah, and I just think of other artists like in her genre or in her like time frame that could do that too.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I mean, Aretha Franklin comes to mind, and mm-hmm. there's like all these other like really strong women artists mm-hmm. come to mind. So yeah, that was a cool time to be around music. Like, I'm sad I could not see any concerts in the early 70s.
Yeah.
There was a lot of good music happening.
I know.
Yeah. So, any other thoughts on Killing Me Softly with his song?
No. I mean, is it even worth talking about the other songs? We just, like, got the best one in at the beginning.
Of course it is.
Oh, okay.
Jeez.
Well, then which one are we talking about next?
I agree, though. This is the best song. So, next up on the album was Jesse.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
That song.
Yeah. So I was curious to get your thoughts on this. At first, like, this was a song that I usually don't pay much attention to.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally written by Janice Ian, who is a singer-songwriter in her own right and has a lot of, like, big songs.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was... So my questions for this was, like, one, where is Jesse?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, who is Jesse? Because I was like, is he off at war? Like, this was written in the 70s, so, like, Vietnam is still kind of happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, is Jesse at war? Did Jesse take off and leave?
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesse, like, die? So I was very confused as to, like, who Jesse was and where he was mm-hmm. through this. But, yeah, like, wow, what a really sad song.
Oh, I know. The line in there of, like... Hey, Jesse, it's lonely. Come home. I was just like, oh, girl, like, no.
Oh, yeah. And the, like, I leave the stair light on for you.
Uh-huh. Or I set a place at the table at noon every day.
Yep.
You know, I think it really speaks to the immense sadness that we feel in somebody's absence and how sometimes we'll just try and do some basic things that we would have done for them or with them to just try and convince ourselves that things are fine when everything's falling apart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like, I've had, you know, relatives and stuff that have lost their significant other. And, you know, like, they will tell me, like, oh, yeah, I still talk to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a really powerful song, I think. About what I'm assuming is loss. I don't know for sure, but yeah, it was a very powerful song and like really got me in the feels, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just really felt for her. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, come home. You know, like whatever it is, you can figure it out. You just need to come home.
Yeah. And that's like, so that's a lot of how of Janice Ian's songs are kind of in that same vein. Mm-hmm. And they just really like, they hit you hard. Mm-hmm. And I think Roberta Flack choosing this song was really a good idea because mm-hmm. she has that range again where she can just hit it and nail it.
Yeah. And again, like what subgenre is it? Quiet Thunder?
Quiet Storm.
Right here.
Yeah, this whole album is, you know, Quiet Storm for sure. So after that, I had No Tears in the End.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this one I thought, you know, as I was, my first thought was, is this song about a one night stand? And then
that's what she expected it to be. And then it lasted way longer.
Right. And then, yeah, it turns into this like amicable parting of the ways, I think. And yeah, it had a very like funky tone to it. Like there's a lot of like wah-wah pedal on the guitar and stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, again, like super relatable because I mean, I think we've talked about this, that there have been points where we've dated people and it's like, they're not Mr. Right. They're Mr. Right now. And I remember having a relationship like that where it was definitely a rebound, and I knew that. And I think, like, deep down he knew that, but he really didn't know that. And, you know, this idea of, like, this is fine. Like, we're good, we're happy, but I don't want any tears in the end when it's over. Like, she is very much planning for this to not be a forever thing.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, like, the poor chucklehead in this story.
I know. It's like, man, read the writing, read the room.
Right. Like, just doesn't see it coming, as they never do.
They, listen, people are hopeful creatures, and they always think that the other person can change if you just love them hard enough. And that is not how love works.
No, unfortunately.
Yeah. So I don't know. I respect that sentiment that it's like, I don't want any tears in the end when it's over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, let's just end as friends and go our separate ways, you know?
We know what we got into. Don't yep. change it now.
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I definitely added this song to, like, another one of those songs from this album that really quickly has moved up the list of favorite songs from this album. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's on there.
Yeah. Is the next one you have, I'm the Girl?
It is, yeah.
Oh, that is another punch in the gut.
Yeah, so I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this one as well.
You know, I see a lot of the relationship archetypes that I've had reflected on this album, and I'm the Girl isn't really any different.
Yeah.
Just because it's about this person who recognizes, like, hey, I'm the number two choice, and I'm the person that this person's going to call when you don't answer, or when you leave, or when you're not there. And I'm going to be happy about it because I get to be with them. But, like, I know that I'm the number two choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, for all of the people out there, whatever your gender, whoever you're dating, like, you deserve to be number one and not number two.
Yeah.
And if you're stuck in a relationship where you're number two, you gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you ever heard of something called an anti-song?
I believe so. So, like, the anti-love trope?
No, like anti, like aunt.
Oh, mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. So an anti-song are songs where we get to hear from the other woman and realize that maybe she's actually a human being with emotions, too. We're hearing the perspectives of women who know their love is futile, but they'll take what they can get for as long as they can get it.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I think that is what this song is. I think it's an anti-song.
What?
Yeah.
My mind is blown.
Yeah, there's a whole episode of This American Life. It's episode number 746, which is called This Is Just Some Songs, where they talk a lot about, like, an anti-song, and they talk with people who have been, like, quote, the anti.
Mm.
It's a fascinating episode. I recommend people listen to it if they're into music or like the subtle vocal sounds of Ira Glass.
Which is also musical.
Which is also fine. But yeah, I think this song is a prime example of that anti-song.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't know that that was like an archetype of song, but there's totally so many of those out there.
Oh, yeah. It's like once you know what it is, it's really quick to be like that. Okay.
Yeah. Whoa. Ira Glass dropping some knowledge.
Yeah. Knowledge bomb. So, yeah, that, I mean, really good song. Another real, like, gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. After that, did you have a River?
Heck yeah, I did.
Yeah. So this song was awesome. Again, like, really quickly moved up to, like, my top two or three off the album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this one, I think, really shows, like, the gospel range of Roberta Flack.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that call and response that you can hear with the, like, yes, it do.
Yep.
Where she'll say it and then the choir says it back and then she'll say it again. I think that's a really cool element of gospel music, this mm-hmm. call and response. So it's really neat to see her bring that up. I have no idea what the song was about other than that, like, river flows and...
Oh my gosh, it was a magical song. Yeah. Like, can we just talk about the, like, line that she has where, like, whatever she's talking about, whether it's the river or the stars or the love or whatever, it flows through the mountains and the valleys and the meadows of time.
Whoa.
Right? Like, yeah. Whoa, how cool is that?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's really just about these universal themes. Like, let's see here. There's a star in the sky that brightens the lives of everyone. Like, we're connected by this shining piece, or the sweet song of love that sweetens the lives of everyone. You know, it's a really... It's a pretty basic song in terms of, like, the main melody, chorus, everything. But I like that because it's about some of the basic things that are the common fibers of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think this song would end, like, if we were listening to this on a record, I think this would end side one of the record. Mm-hmm. And, like, what a... After, like, going through that whole range of emotions of side one, like... I think what a good spot to leave side one with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, let's get back to, like, love and the star in the sky and, like, let's make it funky.
Oh, it was so good.
It was so good.
Oh, my gosh. I would recommend this whole album. It's 8 songs. Listen to it. My brain has not been able to stop for like the last 7 days because things are just so heavy right now, and this was the first time in 7 days that I was like, oh, it's finally quiet.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it was really nice.
I mean, like, listeners at home, like, that's huge to hear this from Al. I don't know that she's really giving this what it's worth, but like, that is a huge statement from my wife.
Yeah, it's never quiet in there, y'all, and it was finally quiet. It was a miracle.
Yeah, it was like during this song, right? Like, I look over and like Al's got her feet up on the couch and her eyes are closed and she's just kind of like tapping her feet and like bobbing her head and like really feeling it. Like, little did I know it was quieting her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was there with her, right? Like, I was there in the mountains and the valleys and the meadows of time. And I was like, oh, it's finally peaceful here.
Mm-hmm. And again, like, that's the power of Roberta Flack. Mm-hmm. Like, she has that ability to just take you away with her music,
mm-hmm.
which is so cool. There's not a lot of artists that can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else about River?
No.
Did you have Conversation Love on there?
I did, yeah.
I'm curious what your thoughts were on that, because that was definitely my bathroom break song.
You know, I think what it was for me is I really loved the instrumental stuff in it. Like, it kind of reminded me of... Oh, shoot. Jazz album, Blue Vinyl, Sonny Rollins.
Uh-huh. Saxophone Colossus.
Yeah. Like, it kind of reminded me of, like, more of a jazzy style piece.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, that's huge. I'll have to go back and listen to this again.
Yeah, because there's only 2 stanzas in the whole song, and the rest of it's all instrumental.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I feel like it's just commenting on how sometimes you don't need words.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes music's fine.
Yeah, it's an unspoken conversation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, see, this is why I like doing this with you. Because songs that I'm like, oh, bathroom break, you're just like, knowledge bomb, mind blown.
And moving on.
Yeah. So after that, I had When You Smile.
Oh my gosh, like... That was one that was, like, kind of more upbeat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was very, like, New Orleans jazz style. And, like, you could even hear the banjo in there.
Uh-huh.
And for folks that, like, don't know, the banjo was a jazz instrument at one point. And this song is a prime example of New Orleans Jazz featuring the banjo.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this was such a good song. It was just, like, a very good, like, love song.
And I have to be kind of honest, I was surprised she didn't end with this song.
Right.
Like, this felt like it was going to be the album closer. And then there was another one, and I was kind of disappointed. I was like, I want it to end here.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I would like to know, like, how much of a hand she had in the track listing.
Uh-huh.
And how much of a hand was, like, the record company.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, because who knows? Maybe Roberta Flack wanted this song to be the end song, and the record company was like, no, we need the Leonard Cohen cover to close it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. This would have been, like, a really good bookend from Killing Me Softly with his song to When You Smile.
Yeah, and it's just so happy. It's like, when you smile, I can see there's hope, hope, hope for me every time, 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 time. It's just like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's really hopeful. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Like,
yeah.
After this roller coaster of emotions, there's something, like, I can be really stoked about again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the same guys that wrote When You Smile also wrote No Tears in the End.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I could see that. They kind of have a similar, like, upbeat speed compared to the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's interesting she chose those two songs from those same writers to be on this album. Mm-hmm. But, like, they fit very, very well.
They do, yeah.
So, yeah, again, this was a song that definitely bumped up to my, like, top three from the album.
Mm-hmm.
Easily.
So how did you feel about Suzanne then?
So, yeah, the album ends with Suzanne, which is a cover of a Leonard Cohen song, which is interesting. So Suzanne, again, is a song written by Canadian poet and musician Leonard Cohen in the 1960s. First published as a poem in 1966, it was recorded and sung by Judy Collins in the same year, and Cohen performed it as his debut single from his 1967 album, Songs of Leonard Cohen. Suzanne was inspired by Cohen's platonic relationship with dancer Suzanne Verdal. Its lyrics describe the rituals that they enjoyed when they met. Suzanne would invite Cohen to visit her apartment by the harbor in Montreal, where she would serve him constant comment tea, and they would walk around old Montreal past the Church of Notre Dame de Bon Secours, where sailors were blessed before heading out to sea.
Nice.
Yeah, except for the part where I butchered the French language.
You know, you're English. It's okay.
I am English and Irish and German, so no part of me can speak French.
It's okay.
Yeah. I thought that this was a, like, I wasn't upset that this was the end song, you know? I like the Leonard Cohen version a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Roberta Flack, again, really makes this her own song while, like, holding true to Leonard Cohen's vision.
Yeah.
So it is interesting. Until reading that it was about a platonic friendship or relationship, I really didn't think that it was about that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of really one-sided.
Mm.
And, like, this guy really loves this Suzanne person, and she kind of, like, strings him along, and maybe he's getting mixed signals from her, or he's mixing up signals from her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, until reading that it was about this platonic relationship, I really didn't think that it was about that.
Yeah, I mean, there is, like, every stanza ends with the line, she touched your perfect body with her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that is one of the most powerful things about a platonic relationship, is that mental connection that you can have with people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and I think, like, when you read about Leonard Cohen as this poet, and, like, we talked about him in our Hallelujah episode.
Mm, yeah, we did.
Like, I think this song is really fitting for him and for that time when, you know, in the mid-60s, all these social norms were being questioned and pushed, and, like, can men and women be friends?
Yeah.
You know? Like, now we're kind of like, well, duh. But back then it was like, no, you're friends with your wife and, like, the man club.
Yeah, and I would even push back on that and say, even today, people are like, oh, are you two dating? And it's like, no, we're just friends. And it's like, for now. And you're like, no, for like ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That still definitely does happen today.
Yeah. And maybe I got it more as the female in the friendship. And maybe the guys get to do whatever they want, as is the guy privilege.
But as is the way.
Yeah.
Meh. Yeah, we need to change that.
Amen.
Rewrite that narrative.
Yes. Mm. One more time for the people in the back.
Rewrite that narrative.
Gosh, I'm so glad I married you.
Thanks.
You're the
I'm
best.
So glad I married you. So yeah, at the end of this version of Suzanne, I really do like that as it kind of would fade out, all of a sudden Roberta like has this piano solo, which then segues into this like orchestral solo, and then she kind of just comes in like freeform singing, and like then it ends. Like, I really appreciate that little addition on the end.
Yeah, and like, you probably won't appreciate this, but like, that did finally put me to sleep again, because my mind was finally quiet. It was like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah, I noticed that you were out. You kind of had your hand on your face and it was pushing your glasses off your face. And I was like, yeah, if she was awake, this wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, but it was just really nice. Like, mm-hmm. It was a wonderful ending and like just a very calming song.
Yeah, and it does. It creates a very beautiful soundscape. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think if I was ordering the songs on this, I would have put this one second to last.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bug me that it's last.
Yeah.
I think it does kind of bookend the album in a nice way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that was Killing Me Softly by Roberta Flack.
Thanks, Lee, for doing all the research and for picking it. It was really nice.
Yeah, of course. I love this album. And again, like, you hear Killing Me Softly with his song from time to time on the radio, but that's kind of it off this album. Mm-hmm. And like, there's so many other good songs on here that have a place on radio that just don't get played.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, her range is incredible. She is truly a powerhouse singer.
Yeah, to go from R&B to gospel to jazz to like, you know, spoken word poetry. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, she can do it all. She's a badass lady.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. So, folks at home, if you want to check this out, we do have a Spotify page now. We have a Spotify page for our podcast, of course, and then we have a Spotify like playlist page. So right now there's a bunch of playlists up there from seasons 1, 2, and 3 featuring all of our bonus episodes. But I am working diligently to add in all of our full-length album episodes with the songs that we've talked about. So keep an eye out for that if you would like to hear any of these songs.
Nicely. Good work.
Thanks. Yeah. Final thoughts on the album?
It was magical. People should listen.
Thanks. If you need to have some help clearing your mind, put this album on and just drift away, if mm-hmm. you will. Yeah. So, Al, who is our bonus episode going to be for April?
Well, Lee, I'm really excited because we covered a full album of this band earlier, and there's just more great music of theirs. So,
yeah,
we're going to bring it back to AJR, and we are going to cover their song Birthday Party.
Ooh.
Off the album Neo Theater.
Okay, Birthday Party off of Neo Theater by AJR.
Yeah, so I know we just pretty recently talked about them in a full album, but this song and like this time period, I'm just really excited to talk about it.
Yeah, the band's so nice, we talk about them twice.
So y'all, if you want to listen ahead, check out AJR's song Birthday Party. And until then, this has been Songs of Our Own, a marital tour through the music that shaped us. Until we get to be with you again, enjoy your own songs.